Kazan by James Oliver Curwood. Chapter 1. The Miracle. Kazan lay mute and motionless, his gray nose between his forepaws, his eyes half closed. A rock could have appeared scarcely less lifeless than he. Not a muscle twitched, not a hair moved, not an eyelid quivered. Yet every drop of the wild blood in his splendid body was racing in a ferment of excitement that Kazan had never before experienced. Every nerve and fiber of his wonderful muscles was tense as steel wire. Quarter-strain wolf, three-quarters husky, he had lived the 4 years of his life in the wilderness. He had felt the pangs of starvation. He knew what it meant to freeze. He had listened to the wailing winds of the long Arctic night over the barrens. He had heard the thunder of the torrent and the cataract, and had cowered under the mighty crash of the storm. His throat and sides were scarred by battle, and his eyes were red with the blister of the snows. He was called Kazan, the wild dog, because he was a giant among his kind, and as fearless, even, as the men who drove him through the perils of a frozen world. He had never known fear until now. He had never felt in him before the desire to run, not even on that terrible day in the forest when he had fought and killed the big gray lynx. He did not know what it was that frightened him, but he knew that he was in another world, and that many things in it startled and alarmed him. It was his first glimpse of civilization. He wished that his master would come back into the strange room where he had left him. It was a room filled with hideous things. There were great human faces on the wall, but they did not move or speak, but stared at him in a way he had never seen people look before. He remembered having looked on a master who lay very quiet and very cold in the snow, and he had sat back on his haunches and wailed forth the death song. But these people on the walls looked alive, and yet seemed dead. Suddenly Kazan lifted his ears a little. He heard steps, then low voices. One of them was his master's voice, but the other, it sent a little tremor through him. Once, so long ago that it must have been in his puppyhood days, he seemed to have had a dream of a laugh that was like the girl's laugh, a laugh that was all at once filled with a wonderful happiness, the thrill of a wonderful love, and a sweetness that made Kazan lift his head as they came in. He looked straight at them, his red eyes gleaming. At once he knew that she must be dear to his master, for his master's arm was about her. In the glow of the light he saw that her hair was very bright, and that there was the color of the crimson bakneesh vine in her face, and the blue of the bakneesh flower in her shining eyes. Suddenly she saw him, and with a little cry darted toward him. "Stop!" shouted the man. "He's dangerous! Kazan!" She was on her knees beside him, all fluffy and sweet and beautiful, her eyes shining wonderfully, her hands about to touch him. Should he cringe back? Should he snap? Was she one of the things on the wall and his enemy? Should he leap at her white throat? He saw the man running forward, pale as death. Then her hand fell upon his head, and the touch sent a thrill through him that quivered in every nerve of his body. With both hands she turned up his head. Her face was very close, and he heard her say, almost sobbingly, "And you are Kazan, dear old Kazan, my hero dog, who brought him home to me when all the others had died. My Kazan, my hero." And then, miracle of miracles, her face was crushed down against him, and he felt her sweet, warm touch. In those moments Kazan did not move. He scarcely breathed. It seemed a long time before the girl lifted her face from